I have to admit that I'm really happy to see Gamer Camp grow year after year. I remember the very first year I was down there and happened in a building somewhere downtown whose name I don't even know. It happened on, I guess, the basement floor of it. And it was cool, and you could really feel the sense of community. But as the years have gone, you guys have grown. You have more people working this now. And as a result, you have more things to sort of share with a community of people in Toronto who just really enjoy gaming. So I guess that's where we should start. What do you guys have this year for people who are coming to your event?
Yeah, it's been an incredible journey. And in part, you know, it's the support that we got from Toronto that made it amazing. I mean, we were the first year that we were able to be on your show with you. We were just overjoyed, you know, because it was the ability to share what we were trying to do with everyone. But now in year four, you know, we've really tried to push ourselves because Toronto is coming out with so many amazing games. We felt like we had to step up our game as well. So certainly, you know, one of the very exciting things are our two keynotes. We've got our international keynote, Dean Hall, creator of DayZ, you know, a game that 1.3 million players have tried out. There's an amazing, beautiful standalone coming out later this year. We're so excited to have Dean speak at Gamer Camp. It's the only time in Canada he's speaking. It's an exclusive. We're really excited about that. We've got Mary DeMarro, who's the narrative director at Eidos, obviously behind AOSX Human Revolution. And so she's going to be talking about her perspective from game writing. And these are just, you know, like, I think one thing that you'll see is that we love everything that's happening in Toronto, but we wanted to bring also the best of what was out there outside of Toronto to the city. And that's one of the ways that we're reflecting our growth.
Well, one thing I just wanted to actually add to that entire situation was that DayZ, as you say, is just a huge mod that came out for Arma. And Arma really wasn't a game, at least I believe it's Arma 2, really wasn't a game that too many people were paying attention to. A lot of people since then have really actually just learned what Arma is, what the entire franchise is, and has actually started to buy the game just to play the mod to the point where the guys, Bohemian Interactive, who make it, are now actually taking DayZ and making its own thing, coming out, I believe, sometime late 2013. It's a huge get for you. But it's not really the only thing you guys have. I've been seeing on Twitter people from, like, Minority who made Popo Ayo. You guys got people from Ubisoft Toronto coming just to sort of give these little discussions about different things. What's going on with these speakers you guys have?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, Vander's game, Popo Ayo, is just so personal and so interesting for video games because it's about a young boy who escapes into a magical world in his mind so that he can deal with the fact that he has an abusive alcoholic father. And it's just a really fascinating topic for video games. And so, and it's based on Vander's own history. So I think it'll be very fascinating for our attendees to hear from Vander about this very personal game. As you mentioned, Pat Redding, who is the game director of Splinter Cell Blacklist, will be speaking at Gamer Camp and talking about violence in the game because, you know, how are they approaching to have violence in the game in a way that doesn't feel so senseless? On top of that, we've got some local games that recently just came out that did quite well. We've got Sean McGrath, who's the creator of Dyad, which was an abstract PSN game. John Mack, who's very well known for Everyday Shooter. Recently, his studio came out with Sound Shapes, which was a musical platformer where Beck, Deadmau5, and Jim Guthrie contributed music. He'll be talking about his journey and his experiences. And I think the thing here is that we really wanted a diversity of different kinds of speakers. If you love games, we really wanted you to feel like you could come here without having to be a hardcore in any one specific kind of games. All of these people who are speaking are going to be just talking about games in general and their love of games. And I think it's going to be a really entertaining set of speakers.
Yeah, there was something I was going to ask you about, basically, who is this for? Because when you sort of just sit back and look at the list of speakers that you have, it's almost a comparison to something like a game developers conference where, you know, people who have made games will sit there and discuss the best practices for different things that you do. From what you just said, it sounds like it's going to be for everybody. But on top of that, I mean, you have things like workshops where people who don't normally make games can go and sort of learn, or maybe people who are working on games right now can go and learn a few more tips. So I guess in reality, the question does have to be asked, who is Gamer Camp for?
Yeah, I think that Gamer Camp is for anyone who loves games and loves what games can do. You know, when I think about people who love film, they love watching film, but they also love to hear from the people who make film. And I remember as a kid just loving going to Universal Studios because you got to walk on the sets and you got to learn a little bit about filmmaking. Now, most people who are watching films aren't going to end up making films themselves, but they might want to try a class or two just to get a feel for it. And so we've kind of adopted that where we said, you know, if you love games, you may want to learn about how they're created. What are the inside stories to all your favorite games? What are they thinking about when they're creating these games? Then go ahead and try a workshop where you can try to make a game and see if you like it or not. And, you know, nowadays it's becoming easier than ever to make a game by yourself. So it's totally worth giving it a go. And of course, what games festival would, you know, you have to have games at a games festival. And we've got 30 games for people to try, ranging from titles that they may already be familiar with to some exclusives such as Super Time Force, which is a Contra-like game that's coming out next year by Cappy Games, and Skulls of the Shogun, which is an Advance Wars-type game that's coming out in December.
You said there's also going to be a few games that people will be familiar with that they may have already played. What are those games going to be?
There are so many games that come out all the time, and you may not get a chance to try out all the games. So any game, most of the games that our speakers will be talking about will be available there. So if you haven't had a chance yet to try Popo.io or Sound Shapes or Dyad, this is your chance to do that. And in addition, we've also got some new local games that are just being released now, and it's people's chances to first try them out.
If we can go back just and for a second talk about the workshops and just sort of what we can do there. Just, you know, you mentioned that here's a chance for people to experience a few things that they may never have done before or learn a few things they may never have done before. You equated to sort of the film industry and, you know, people who really like film going and learning from the people who, you know, make films. So I guess the question I want to ask is, how are these workshops going to go? You know, basically, what's going to happen there? What are the subjects? What's the structure? How is that going to work?
The workshops don't require any previous experience in game making whatsoever. There's a range of levels. So there are going to be some people who are already familiar with game making. There's some workshops that are, you know, based on that higher, that kind of higher knowledge of game making. But there's lots of workshops also for the people who are making games for the very first time. For example, every year we have Snakes and Lattes come in and create a pop-up cafe. So they take over a part of Gamer Camp, they bring in all their board games. This year we also have a board game jam, which is basically a one-hour board game making session where people can learn how to make their own board games. And it would be fantastic if then they took it to Snakes and Lattes at Gamer Camp and had people try it out. That's one example of a workshop that you don't have to have any previous experience for, and you can just jump in there. You know, there's stuff like when you're making games, you have to be iterative. You have to try out different things to see whether they work or not. We've got a couple of workshops where the workshop presenters will actually have a game available that you can change on the fly. That way you can see how different things in a game affect how it's created. Mozilla is coming in this year to demonstrate hackable games. They're starting to move into games, and you know, with their idea of always open web and open source everything, they're showing how people could take a game and with very little knowledge start reworking it and remixing it for themselves. So it's really about, you know, when I started in doing this stuff in the games industry, I was really intimidated that I didn't know how to program. I love games, and I would love to make a game, but it seemed like such a distant thing to dream of. With these workshops, you know, it makes it really easy to get closer to that. You really get to remix and remake these games and get a feeling for what it's like to actually be a game developer.
And as great as all this sounds, as great as, like, getting that inside look on how games are made and listening to the people who made these games and why they made them and why they did certain things, and even getting your hands on the games and trying a few of them, I've always thought that Gamer Camp has always been more of a celebration of games above everything else. And every year you guys do some celebrating. Last year you took over a bar in downtown Toronto for a night and just threw yourselves a massive party. Are you guys doing something like that this year?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got two great things that are happening at night. On Saturday, we want to really celebrate music and games and also just games themselves. We love the idea of being social, but also having games there. So on Saturday night, we have 7 games coming up from New York, where they were part of the NYU No Quarter exhibition. And these were games that were actually commissioned to be played in a public space. So we have a giant board game called Drunk Dungeon, where as people have a good time, the game kind of changes how you play. And in addition, we also have 3 musical performances happening that night. We have Leonard J. Paul, who is one of the composers on Retro City Rampage, which was very well received for its music. We've got Peter Chapman, who's doing the music for Mod Nation Racers and Guacamole. And lastly, we've got Sean Hatton, who's from Electric Playground, and he'll be spinning some tunes as well. So that's going to be a fun, boisterous party where you get to enjoy some music, play some games, hang with people. On Sunday, we are really excited to have the Toronto premiere of the Ace Attorney film. This is based on the Phoenix Wright games that were created by Capcom. It's directed by Takashi Miike, who is the legendary director behind Audition and Ichi the Killer. And it's just going to be an exciting time for anyone who's a fan of the series, and even people who aren't. You know, Kotaku called it the best video game movie they've ever seen. And so I think that it's something where if you don't even know the game series, you can still come out and really enjoy it.
Now, it sounds awesome, but I really do have to back up for one thing. Sean Hatton, who, as you mentioned, is on the Electric Playground. People who follow him on Twitter and people like me who, you know him in person, know that video games, he enjoys them, but it always seems that his true passion, that hobby that he likes to pick up and fool around with the most when he's on his own time, is music and making music. And he's done stuff for Drinkbox Studios. He made some music for their game, Mutant Blobs Attack, stuff like that, as things that he's done. But he's also in a band, and that's what I just wanted to ask you. Is he going to bring Cobra Destroys down with him, or is it just going to be a Sean Hand special?
I think he's going to, he's the host of the social, so I think he's going to make it a night where he shines. We're expecting Sean to be curating the songs that he puts out there. So it's going to be a Sean Hatton special. Cobra will have to come around the next time.